Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of midlife. We're so glad you joined us for this episode. Today, we're having a discussion with Allison Rothman on creating your own unique path to midlife. But before we get started, we're going to do some introductions. I'm Mary Ann.
I'm Leslie Ann.
I'm Marla.
And Allison, if you want to go ahead and say hi and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Hello. My name is Allison Rothman, and I am coming to you from chilly, gray, snowy Boulder, Colorado, where I've lived for the last 20 years. I am a fellow midlifer and have been immersed in the world of holistic wellness for almost 30 years. And I'm just excited to be here to dive into what our unique paths are of midlife, because as I see all the time, which I'm sure you ladies do too, everybody's journey is very different. So it's just an honor to be here.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. I'm looking forward to it as well. And of course, I have friends and I know myself and I kind of know what my path has taken. And of course, in friendships, you find other people's paths as well. But you're right. You have talked to a lot of people that are trying to find their unique path. And starting with that kind of as a launch here, when people come to you, do they find that they don't really know where they want to go, or they're trying to purposely make a very distinct path that they know? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's a combination. You know, a lot of clients that come to me are either they've been in very long-term marriages, relationships, they have raised children, and they're unhappy. And they're like, I know I want something more. I don't know what that is. What are my options? What can I do? You know, and others, I have, you know, a lot of women who come into my practice who have been single for a very long time, who are looking for their person, who perhaps have their career path, but have not yet found love. You know, it kind of varies. But what I've found is that there's a lot of universal themes. It's just everybody's kind of got their own flavor of, you know, within the context of these themes. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it does. I think in midlife, we are finishing up certain roles and certain things, tasks, things that we've taken on that we've enjoyed and loved and maybe not. And now we're looking, it's like the world is our oyster again in some ways, because you do get to choose and find a path that might be complementary to the path that you've already had, or maybe it's something that you want to explore or experiment or do for yourself that you just never was able to. But it might be a childhood dream. It might be all kinds of things. So I think midlife is a wonderful time, actually, to start over and to do something different if you feel so. I know Marla has a question coming up in a minute, and she found it on one of your blogs or on your blog or on your website. And I actually like the word as well, and it's awakening. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And then, Marla, I loved your question in which you kind of spoke about that a little bit.
Sure. So, yes, I have a program that I created that just came through me. You know, there's so much talk about midlife being a time of crisis, and I just don't feel that. I feel like this is a time to really come into who we are. You know, it's kind of the no bullshit anymore, you know, like, I was at a show, my partner and I are celebrating our 2-year anniversary today, actually. Later in life, relationship, we still go to music. And I had this moment, I had this conversation with a girl in her, you know, mid-30s. And I just said, you know, this is a time where it's like, you just don't care anymore. You just are who you are. And to me, it's exciting. And it is a time to really awaken to our truth and to not allow the outside world to kind of stifle us or squash us, which, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of women experience for, you know, in our 20s and 30s and even in the early 40s, you know. So to me, it's this exciting time and it's not a time of crisis. And so I'm really just, you know, on a mission to change the dialogue about this very powerful time of life as being that of an awakening. And what does that look and feel like for you?
You know, I love when I think about midlife as well, and these two at the table know this, I like being adventurous and as they do and doing other things. But I try to be pretty strategic about it because I also don't want to be that girl flirting with disaster either. Mm-hmm. So it does take some thought about what you want to do and how you're going to tackle that and how it's going to work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you feel like the people that come to you, it's they've gone through this reflective stage and now it's like, okay, someday is today?
I mean, some. Some are just beginning, you know. I mean, I have a couple of clients who have never done any kind of therapeutic process on themselves. You know, they've just never done personal work, but they have reached this moment in time where they're like, I have to do something. Like, this is not working. And I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going, but I just know that what I have been doing is no longer working. So, you know, I think it's pretty amazing that women in their 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, are like willing to take a look at themselves at this juncture and find out who they are. I think it's a very cool thing.
You said at the beginning that there are some common themes that you've seen. Mm-hmm. What would those be?
Well, you know, I mean, the obvious is like the body. And I overheard your last conversation, like, our bodies change, right? I mean, that's just inevitable. So it's navigating that. And my practice is very somatically based, which is body-centered work. So naturally, we're talking about how our bodies are functioning and how they're changing and how to work with them as they evolve. Grief, you know, it's grieving. Some people, you know, go through a big grieving process of that they'll never be younger again, you know, and have the, you know, for some, everybody's different, you know, for some people, their glory years, you know, were their like 20s and 30s where they felt free and, you know, super strong. And you know, I'm not saying that's my story at all. But the loss of parents, you know, I mean, we naturally at this time of our lives, like our parents, if they have not yet passed, they are getting older and there's all that to navigate. For some, you know, we're parenting teenagers, grown adults. You know, I know Marianne's kids have been out of the house, you know, got out of the house. You know, I have a 14-year-old, so, and I'm almost 50. So, you know, everybody's different, but it's like this older parenting kind of model. Life purpose, soul purpose, relationship evolution, you know, I mean, these are just kind of common themes. And, you know, sexuality, you know, I mean, all of it is related and it all changes during this time of life.
And so you kind of handhold somebody or help them kind of tap into what they want or where their life is, whether it's happy or sad, satisfactory or not. And I'm just trying to kind of get an idea because I know you do, it's like a therapist in some ways. Mm-hmm. You try and dissect into exactly what might be going on and help them identify how they want to move forward. Just trying to get a better idea if you had a client, what is the starting point and what process. Kind of what's the process of it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And, you know, I wish I had a straight and narrow answer for you here. But the work is not linear at all.
Right.
And, you know, how I work with people, everybody is different, you know, but what I always say is that we have to start from exactly where they are.
And so, you know, like, for example, I have one client who's literally never been in therapy, and just getting her to talk and open up was huge. It was a huge process. It took months, right? And for her to feel comfortable with me and allowing me in with her, you know, allowing the emotion to come up and out and not feel like there was something wrong with her. You know, we're still working. I'm probably 8 months in with her, and we're still working on getting her to connect with her experiences with what's happening in her body, because there's still a, you know, a big disconnect. And I am constantly, because I believe that we cannot heal unless we are dropped into our bodies. And, you know, this, how I work with people came from, you know, early 20s, I was in a treatment center for eating disorder recovery. And I ended up, I had already been kind of in the holistic world, but really ended up doing this deep healing process with myself using all these holistic modalities, and inevitably about how to get into my body and how to access what is alive for me. So that is really my ultimate goal, is getting people to be present, to drop into their bodies, to be able to name the sensations that are happening for them, while simultaneously being able to kind of unfurl from any emotional stagnation, and to be able to really articulate and name what is going on for them so that they can gain deeper awareness of who they are and act accordingly, right? And so, you know, the sessions are, they vary between talking and, you know, centering, resourcing in the body to coming into, you know, kind of the next layer. And I just try to hold space for wherever people are on their unique path and to move forward from there.
What are some of the biggest barriers that you find that people have to being able to find their unique path?
I mean, I think there's two main things. A grave disconnect from themselves, period. You know, whether it's, you know, from a traumatic life experience, to being in a relationship that stifled them, to society, you know, pushing them down, zipping the lips, you know, kind of thing. Them not feeling safe in their bodies with using their voice to be who they are, for one reason or another. And more often than not, I do find like that it is society and, you know, these dysfunctional relationships that really do not support our growth and evolution.
Are there, I understand that everybody's different, right? So everybody's need is different, and your treatment, your relationship with each client is going to be a little different. But are there common points of common suggestions that you make to people that you find, you know, these are things I think everyone would benefit from doing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good question. Meditation. I'm a huge, huge, huge believer in a morning practice. And, you know, personally, I was a single mom for 11 years. And when my son was 3, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to like literally lose my shit if I do not do something here. And so I started waking up. He was an early riser. And I was like, I'm getting up before him somehow. So I started getting up between 4:30 and 5, which thankfully it's now pushed back a little bit. But I would get up and I sat every day. And then I wrote. I'm not sure if you've heard of Morning Pages. Julia Cameron has a brilliant book called The Artist's Way. And Morning Pages is like this psychic dump, like first thing in the morning. So sitting in meditation helps us to gain the capacity to respond rather than react to life. We learn how to work with the inevitable discomfort of our human existence, because being a human is uncomfortable, right? So this practice alone, and I am a huge believer, some people cannot, you know, I'm not going to say they cannot. They are not willing to start to just sit without a guided meditation. It's very different. They're two very different practices. Happy to talk about the guided meditation too. But this is about sitting and breathing with ourselves. And we have the capacity to change our neural pathways by sitting in meditation and being so simple. Focusing on one word, focusing on our breath. Anytime the mind starts going, we come back home. And that way, okay, so the stuff comes in, you know, because people are like, I can't meditate. I feel like really agitated. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Because you sit in meditation and literally all your shit comes up. That is what it is supposed to do. So how do you sit with that and allow this stuff to come up without being pulled by it? You know, and we all do, but then you come back to center. And this is the practice, constantly coming back to center. So that is a game-changing practice. And then if you can, and there's something about doing it first thing in the morning, people are resistant, but I promise it will change your life. Absolutely. And then if you have time, you know, I always say get one of those like cheap spiral notebooks from like Walgreens and write, free write. Don't worry about what's coming out of you. Don't worry about punctuation. And Julia Cameron says there's something about 3 pages that really is the like cathartic moment. And sometimes it is. And sometimes I'm kind of like, oh, that was, I don't really know what happened there, but you know, but I did it. So those two practices alone are kind of non-negotiables. And, you know, not everybody will do it, but, you know, I know that those are key in getting people to anchor so that we can really dive into the work on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because we, people of a certain generation, I was going to say we, but I don't want to generalize because not everyone is part of the we I'm thinking of. you know, we have a certain view of things like meditation as like kind of woo-woo, you know? But I will say I a lot of young people that I know talk about manifesting, which I guess is kind of like meditating, setting an intention. And I was so curious about that because I did, my initial reaction was that's just sort of woo-woo science, but I did look into it. And actually what I learned is that it actually works because your brain takes in so much information every single day, so many little bites of information that you can't process all of it. So you're constantly throwing bits of information away. But when you set an intention and or meditate on something, you train your brain to look for what it is you're setting your intention about. Mm-hmm. So it will cull that information when it comes across it in your daily existence so that you can make use of it in a way that you might not if you hadn't done that. So I think that's kind of similar to what you're saying.
It's similar. It's not exactly the same, but I have a definitely, you know, I'm definitely aligned with that, you know, because I do believe that there is the power of intention and that we have a lot of choice in how we work with our minds to have our minds actually serve our lives rather than diminish us. And, you know, a lot of people get stuck in this kind of tape that runs in their minds about who they are and their worthiness and, you know, what they look like and what they, you know, sound like and how they walk and how they talk, you know, all of it. So, you know, there is this piece around interrupting that cycle and interrupting, you know, by changing our neural pathways so that we can pivot our lives in a different direction. So, you know, that's sort of aligned with what you were saying, I think. But, you know, the practice that I am referring to is more around we're not necessarily, there's not like a goal. It is just to be present in the moment with ourselves and to be present with whatever comes up. Because, you know, then we get off our cushion and everything's, you know, the kids and the partner and the job and, you know, everything's coming at us. So this is like a way for us to like, stay grounded and to be aware when we're starting to be pulled. Oh, he just really triggered me. I can have a choice here. I can either like, you know, freak out or I can come back to my breath, come back to my body, and come back to my mantra. I'm a big fan of using a mantra or affirmation to remember, to come back home. So does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. Yes. How important is diet? And do you talk about that at all? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you had...
holistic wellness.
Yeah, holistic wellness, but also that you had experience from a disordered eating clinic. And I think when we tell people to focus on food and what they're putting in their body, is there a danger there that that's going to be taken the wrong way? But it's still such a central piece of it, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, you know, if you're going through, if you're hitting the McDonald's drive-through, you know, a couple times a week, like, you're not going to feel very good, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this deep connection to what we feed ourselves with. And I, you know, yes, food, absolutely. But that means, you know, the people, the stimulation, what we're listening to, what we're seeing. Are we watching, you know, the news all the time? Are we, you know, so it's not, I struggle with the word diet just because, you know, I feel like it gives this kind of negative connotation to food. Mm-hmm. And it's more like, I'm always like encouraging people to, when we are connected to our bodies, it's inevitable that we are going to make better choices for ourselves. That does not mean we are perfect, because nobody is perfect, right? I mean, I am a believer of anything in moderation, unless you have an allergy, you know, unless you have an addiction to sugar or something, you know, and then in that case, like, it is better for you just not to go there, right? But, you know, we naturally feel better when we're taking care of ourselves, right? It just is part of the deal. And food is definitely one of those components. So, and that was a learning for me. Like, you know, I grew up as a dancer and was very conscious of my body, and hence why I developed an eating disorder at a very, very young age. And the unraveling for me was very much about learning how to stay present in the moment in my body while I was eating, while I was making the choice to either, you know, go to the cabinet and inhale food, or make a cup of tea, you know, and really nourish myself. So, you know, at the end of the day, to me, again, this comes back to us being dropped into our bodies and really being able to breathe into our bellies and embrace our bodies for what they need and how they are, and to really start to notice the impact that different foods may have on how you feel. You know, the mind-body connection is very real. So
if I could go back to kind of the top of the podcast and the idea about creating your own unique path in midlife, but that you had raised that there are universal themes, and you shared a number of them. And I was really struck reading your website about how many of these topics are topics that we've touched on our podcasts, and a few that I think we'll be inspired to do going forward. Mm-hmm. But I was hoping you could talk a little bit about a couple of them. One is uncovering true voice. Mm-hmm. And as we are creating our unique paths, if you could talk a little bit about how we might uncover that true voice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. You know, I feel like, and, you know, my own journey of navigating an addiction, and then simultaneously, you know, was in a very abusive relationship for a lot of years. And, you know, I think that a lot of women in midlife have been squashed in some way or stifled in some way. And there is, you know, and it goes back to what I was talking about like the, you know, societal projections and societal norms or et cetera. And so when we are, to me, when we are uncovering our true voice, it is this voice from that is emerging from us. It's not forced. It's emerging from our embodied selves. And by embodied, and that's like the basis of my business, is embodied life. Like,
how can we embody exactly what is going on in our lives, exactly the cards that we have been dealt, right? And to move through life from this integrated place. And when we are in that place, then the voice just emerges. It just comes through so clear. I mean, I would imagine, I don't want to make any assumptions, but we have all had the moment of feeling like we are speaking from this very empowered place. We're not thinking, you know, it's just coming through us. And I think that when we start to unwind these layers that have been like kind of put on top of us over the years due to life, you know, we have this opportunity to really start to, you know, come from center. You know, I say that a lot, like, what is your root voice? You know, what is coming from your power center? If you are speaking from that place, what does your voice sound like? What does your voice want to say? And I think that, actually, I know that when we do the writing, that really helps us to channel that true voice. I had a client the other day who, she's not in midlife, but I've worked with her on and off for 15 years. And I like adore this woman. And she has been so resistant to the morning practice and the morning pages. And she is finally surrendering and doing it. And she's like, when I write, then as I move through my days, I'm able to articulate myself so much clearer. I feel so much more in alignment with who I am. And I'm like, yep, that's what I've been saying. But, you know, it's like we all have to find that in our own way. But, you know, it's like if you can imagine yourself speaking from, you know, right from the core of who you are, what does that voice want to say? And how can we support each other as women on the path to speak our truth, you know, to not, and Marianne and I had a nice chat about this, you know, about like letting go of the competition and just allowing each other to rise and to be as big and beautiful and verbal and, you know, creative and all of it and empowered as possible. So I hope that landed. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you know, letting go of the competition, right? That's another topic that we've touched on. And I think I've seen some of it come to fruition because of age and confidence and self-acceptance, one of your universal themes, and body, and I'm assuming relationship evolution is any kind of relationship, but also getting what works for you. But I guess I'd love for you to just take this topic a little bit further, because I don't know that just because you're in midlife, you are able to let go of the competition. And maybe you could talk a little and share for us how to do that when it isn't maybe your natural instinct to be able to let go, that there's a part of you that does feel a little bit of competition that just kind of, I don't know, bubbles up.
And I think, Allison, in our conversation context, we were talking, and it's still like that, but I think we were talking about how in midlife, it's more about collaboration than competitiveness in general. I think Marla's talking, are you talking more like in the workplace or just in general, women to women?
No, I'm specifically talking about the fact that not everybody has let go of that competitiveness. Right. And sometimes it's natural instinct, survival of the fittest. So when you feel a little bit of that competitive spirit, or sometimes it's jealousy, right? Mm-hmm. That we may be calling it a competitive spirit, but maybe it feels like jealousy, and then it becomes competitive. That's what I'm talking about.
I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. I let those people go. But anyway, no.
Yeah. That out. I know. I mean, I get it. It's like not like, you know, it's easier said than done, of course, right? And yes, once we're in midlife, I would love to think that, you know, and feel that we can all just love one another and support each other and uplift each other. And that's just not how, you know, life is. But, you know, what I believe is that we have the choice as to how we are going to respond to our fellow women. And I think it's a practice to take a look at, oh, so-and-so, like, look what they're doing. Wow. And, you know, and I'm an entrepreneur and I get it. I live in a very affluent community that has not been my story at all. And people are traveling the world and they're on this vacation and that vacation and they created this and that and they wrote that book and, you know, whatever, you know, like I raised a kid by myself for 11 years, you know, and it has really been this journey for me and this practice of recognizing anytime I'm starting to look outwards with that, you know, and it's for me, it's less about competition. It would be more in the line of, you know, longing for that, or maybe that the word is envy. But, you know, I look at it as I'm like, okay, what does this person have to teach me? And how can I be inspired by their journey, you know, and remembering that I have choice as to whether or not I want to be in relationship with someone who perhaps has more of a competitive edge, because that's just not what I am choosing at this juncture of my life. So, you know, the only advice I have really is that we have control over ourselves and we have the opportunity to constantly look within. And this is where I feel like the inner work really has to be, because outside of us, it's like, what are we going to do with that? You know? And what is this person that is bringing this sense of envy or competition or jealousy up in you? What is this person there to teach you? And what aspect of them can you take in for yourself that can be fuel for your growth? You know, I mean, I personally am just at this place of life that I'm like, I just don't want any part of it. And I'm choosing to remove myself from situations that energy is there. You know, of course, I work alone, so there's that. But, you know, colleagues that are around me that have not been in that collaborative spirit, it's uninteresting to me. I'm just not doing it anymore. But I think that it's very unique. And sometimes, you know, especially in the younger years, I do feel like it's you know, more of an issue, I think, than when we are older. And I would hope that with maturity and age that we can just really embrace each other and where we are and celebrate our differences. And I also very much understand that everybody's not there, you know, so that's my hope. And my hope is that my words and actions can have a ripple effect to those that I encounter, and that I can support others to really just come into themselves and not allow the outside world to sway them in ways that perhaps it used to.
To wrap it up a little bit, Allison, this has been a great conversation, by the way. For our viewers, what advice would you have for them if they're at that crossroads or at that junction where they want to be reflective, they want to kind of see where they've been, but also where they want to go? Do you have any advice on how to get started in that process?
Well, they could definitely seek guidance, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think any self-reflective practice is going to help them to just begin to tap into the wisdom that lies within. And from there,
you know, they can make the choice if they feel like they need some outside support. I'm a huge believer in, and I run retreats and women's circles and events, because I am a huge believer in the power of community. And I believe that we can truly, you know, have, you know, we can change the world by women coming together in supportive and safe containers where we can be ourselves and we can hold space for each other in our growth process. So, you know, there's only so much work I feel like that we can do alone. And I do feel like that is the power of community is really where it's at.
I love the midlife community, by the way, and my friends here. Can you let the viewers know where they can find you online?
Sure. Well, I'm based in Boulder, but I work with clients all over. And I actually do run a women's circles through Zoom, which works beautifully. So my website is embodymylife.com. And there's the opportunity to schedule a 20-minute chat to just see if we're a good fit. And even if you just want to say hello, I love just connecting with people and having some deep, rich conversations. So,
well, I took we had about probably longer than 20 minutes, but I have notes from it. Like, it was a great conversation. I will pop it on our website as well. But I want to thank our viewers today for listening in. You can find us at American Midsters. That's AmericanMidsters.com. Thanks so much.